Well, welcome once again to the Music and Ministry Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us today. My name is Stephen Reed, and I get to be the host of this here podcast. One thing that you will find out very quickly as soon as you start in ministry in any way, shape, or form is that people have different opinions when it comes to how ministry should be run. And so today we're going to talk about how do you sort through all of those complaints, all of those people that are pushing all of the different directions that can be gone into where you feel like God's called you to do. And really a big part of that comes down to having a vision. Vision is simply that imaginary picture on the inside of what you want it to be or what you think it should be, what you feel you're called to. And so for sometimes I'll just ask people, hey, close your eyes and imagine what a perfect worship service or what even really a church service would be. How long is the worship time? And, you know, what kind of music are you playing? What does it look like? What are you wearing? Are there lights? Do you have set pieces? How many songs are you doing? And how do you imagine the crowd reacting? How many people are on the worship team? And then even outside of the worship, you know, how long is the message? How does that all flow together? And really, for a lot of worship leaders, how long are the announcements? I would encourage everybody to really spend some time and be able to get out on paper what that is on the inside, because whether you know it or not, that's the thing that you're chasing. That is your vision. And what's interesting is that everyone else has a vision, and sometimes we don't realize that, hey, we're not all going the same direction. Now, that applies to the people on your team, your pastors, your other leaders, but also for every person that's walking into the door, they have their own set of preferences. And what can happen if you're not careful is that churches can actually be run by the people who have the strongest personalities, the people that complain the most, or for whatever reason, gather people unto themselves instead of being led by purpose. And so the Lord gave me this phrase about a year back, and it shocked me when it came out of my mouth at a conference. And so I wrote it down and have thought about it and have taught on it a lot since then. And it's this: without purpose, you're left with preferences. And I'll say that again, without purpose, you're left with preferences. And that really applies to all the different aspects of ministry and sometimes even life. But in context of a worship ministry, something as simple as like volume, well, how loud should it be? Well, I like it really loud, and this other person likes it louder than I do, and this person wants more bass, and the other person wants you to turn it down. Well, then how is the decision made about what volume it should be? Usually it's the volume where people complain the least. And that's not necessarily the best way to run an organization or a ministry based on people not complaining. You know, if that was true in the Old Testament, well, the children of Israel would have wandered around and not had any problems because they complained. No, the complaining is what got them in trouble. And so one thing from a biblical standpoint is always challenging is not to make your decisions based on complaints. You want to make your decisions based on purpose. There's somewhere to go. There's a reason why we're doing these things. And then we're looking to see if we're completing those tasks or those results are coming to us. So that really begs the question of why are you doing what you're doing? And for the vast majority of people, the answer is, well, it's what we've always done. So one of the key aspects of leadership is that you have to know where you're going and why you're going there. I know these are big things to think about, but it really should be a conversation that you're having with your leadership, and you just know yourself of why are we doing these things? Because here is another statement that I have remembered for most of my formidable life here, is that without knowing the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. Without knowing the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. Because if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, the chances of you actually doing it for the right reasons are pretty small. So in the case of volume, there's a very specific purpose for why you want it to have at a certain level. You're trying to get people to feel comfortable enough to participate. And again, you may need to even take a moment to think, hey, do we want people to be involved right here at this moment? Because if you don't, another volume level might be a better option. So if I want to get people to participate, there is a threshold of sound where for whatever reason, people will start to jump in. And think about it, when you're in your car and you're singing at the top of your lungs, how loud is that volume? Well, you can actually scientifically measure that with a decibel meter, and we talked about that on some of our other resources here at Music and Ministry. So I can pinpoint that moment to a scientific number in a decibel meter, and then I can recreate that in the service. And then what I'm looking for is, do people participate more when it's at this volume versus do they participate less when it's at another volume, either lower or higher? Because there is a point where it's so loud that people can't hear themselves, they don't feel connected, and then all of a sudden they'll just stop and watch and they become spectators. Whereas I said before, if you just want to impress people or shock people or get people to watch you, louder is a better option. Now, if you want to have people just kind of mill around and talk to each other, or there's some other purpose that you have, maybe quieter is better. But a lot of times people are setting the volume level based on who complains the most. And what ends up happening is those people become your leaders. My pastor used to always say, that's the tail wagging the dog. Okay, that's the third quotable thing you can grab from this podcast. That's the tail wagging the dog. Because you're no longer in charge of what volume it is. It's like, well, I hope Sister So-and-so doesn't complain today, or Mr. Whoever. You want to have purpose and then move with purpose and then be able to judge that purpose. Because if you're not getting the results, then you need to make changes. Because it's no longer based on, well, I like this or you like that. It's based on, does this work? And then you evaluate and then reformulate your plans again with purpose. Now, that's just one of many issues, but think about the songs that you're choosing and how many people are like, well, I like this song and this song I get to sing and this other song has a cool guitar solo, so I want to do this song. Well, you can get suggestions all day long, but at the end, what are you looking for those songs to accomplish? Are people participating? And then more importantly, are people worshiping? Is there an overall sense of an anointing, of the presence of the Lord? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing as we gather as a body of Christ? And so there's lots of songs that, well, people will sing, but at the end of the day, did it fit the right spot? Did it take us where we were supposed to go? And that maybe is a little bit harder to evaluate, but there should be some conscious effort of saying, man, when we sing this song, it's like Jesus is in the room. And when we sing this other song, everybody's participating, but at the end of it, it's kind of like, eh, we could have sang this other song and it would have been just as good. And again, without a higher set of priorities of this is why we're doing what we're doing, it will just be left up to whose preference do we get. And if you're an established worship leader, maybe you get to have your preference. Maybe it's your pastor's preferences. And hopefully some of those are aligned, but what can happen a lot of times is that you have very different priorities or preferences. And that can cause conflict. But the beauty of purpose is that it lets all of that stuff go and it brings it down to, does this work? And then you can start to make decisions that are much more objective and much less selfless instead of selfish. So the last thing that I'll say about purpose as we talk today is that I believe that we are living in a generation where people, and Christians specifically, are looking for purpose. They're screaming for it. There's even been somewhat of a groundswell of a return to liturgy amongst the millennials, partly because they can't tell the difference between a nightclub and a worship service because they look exactly the same. The lights are flashing the same. People are dressed the same. And so there doesn't appear to really be much of a purpose in the way that things are because they can't tell the difference. Now, compare that with the traditional services that many denominational churches have, where they're steeped with purpose. The reason why certain things are in different places, and some places have candles, and some places have flags, and those flags change colors, and there's certain things in certain places. Well, there's a deep and rich history of why all of those things are there, but most people don't know what it is, or it's never explained. So I would encourage you not only to have a personal revelation about why it is that you're doing what it is, but also start to find ways to communicate that purpose to other people, either within small statements as you're leading worship, things in your bulletin, but just say, hey, you know, this is this week, that's why these flags are green. And then people that are there would, oh, I've never realized that that had a purpose. I just thought we randomly changed the decorations. So I know that's a lot to think about, but it makes such a huge difference. And you're going to find that some of the things you've done is just because And maybe that's not a good reason to do it. And it will give you freedom to change and to look at some other things. But again, people are going to be frustrated if you can't communicate, hey, this is why we're doing this. And let's see if this works. And then at the end, if it does work, then hey, everybody will be excited. All right, well, that's all the time we're going to take this week. As always, if there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask. And just excited about what God's doing in your life, and are praying blessings over you and your ministry. Father, that you would give them purpose, give them vision, help them see how it is they're supposed to do what it is that you've called them to do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.